opportunity. I don't know which I'm more nervous for, that or this. I think that. So I'm looking forward to preaching now. Psalm 63, I want to deal with verses 1 through 8. And I'd like to begin a series. I'm working on and praying that the Lord helps me transition more from an evangelist mindset into a pastoral mindset. And so I've been praying about some things I'd like to speak on for a length of time into the future. And so the Lord has led in some ways in that, and I'd like to deal with the subject of the pursuit of God. And it's been a burden of mine recently. I would say in the last 2 months, the Lord really started working on my heart over this, that I would have more of a passion to seek Him in my own personal quiet time. And I want to really challenge you to do the same. My prayer is that the Lord will revive our quiet times with Him, that our personal devotions would every day be effective. What is an effective quiet time with the Lord? We'll cover that. How do you do it? What are some practical things you can do in your time with the Lord? What are some requirements for it to be effective? Those are all things that are burdens of mine that I'd like us to explore together as we think about the pursuit of God. The pursuit of God goes two ways. Us pursuing Him, but Him pursuing us. We love Him because He first loved us. And He's really the one who has started the process. And we'll explore that together, Lord willing. Look at people in the Bible that pursued God with their lives and how they did that and the effect it had upon their lives as they did that. Number of different places I'd like to go with this study, and so I ask you to join me as we think about the pursuit of God. We'll start here in Psalm 63 in this first message and see where the Lord leads us as the year continues on. I am not good at telling stories, I don't think, and I don't have many stories to tell in my preaching often, but I do have one that may pique your interest and help set us up a little bit for this. It's a hunting story, ladies, I'm sorry. But the idea of pursuing something really started to come alive to me as I did this in the woods one day. And I don't want to stay long on this, but I had an opportunity to hunt a bear once. I went out seeking a buck. And this was while we were up at Servant's Heart Camp. And there's just a short window of time in the season that you can hunt bear during buck season. And I had a bear license, and I was out that morning heading to the buck stand. And there was a fresh coat of snow on the ground from the night before, walking up the back lane there, and I looked down and there were fresh tracks right crisscrossing my path right there. And they turned and started up the road that I was going to be following. Fresh bear tracks. I thought, wow. I checked the date. Yes, this is indeed an opportunity, and this obviously had just happened. And so I was looking all around and excited. Never experienced anything like this before. I don't consider myself any great hunter or anything. But that opportunity came, and so I started to track these tracks and follow and see where they went. They went up a little way, up the road a ways, and then turned and went into the woods. And so I turned and went into the woods. Long story short, I was, you know, all focused on this. I was taking step by step, quietly looking all around because I hadn't been around bears before, and I didn't know what to expect. I had a nice rifle in my hands, but here I was. And so eventually, in time, I came to a very thick undergrowth area, and I looked at where the tracks went, and they went into like this little tunnel through the thicket. I had to crawl to continue to follow these tracks. And I could kind of see into the thicket that there was a fallen tree in there and a little bit of a clearing. So I thought, how about I crawl through this tunnel and get in there, get up on that log, and then see what I can see. And so I did that, stood up on the log, and looked just 15 yards, 20 yards further, and there was a dark shape in the thicket. And I thought, here I am. And it was one of the cubs. And so I started looking all around, where's mama? And my heart was pounding. I wasn't thinking about eating ice cream at that time. Amazing, isn't it? I wasn't thinking about anything else except the pursuit that I was in right then. And there I was, looking in the at the thicket at one of the cubs. I knew there were likely more dark shapes around, and so I was keeping a sharp eye. I heard off in the distance deer running away from the area. I heard other commotions around, but eventually I heard a lot of commotion, large animal obviously, in that direction that the dark shape had disappeared into by that point. Coming around, I heard the commotion coming around this way, downhill a little bit. And so I knew that the bears, if that's the right word, plural, were moving that direction. I thought, okay, I'm going to go back out of the thicket the way I came in, come circle around so I'll see better of what's going on. And I did that, came back out, and there she was. The opportunity to pull a trigger came. I had my scope right on her. She was looking at me. And I pulled the trigger, and quickly reloaded. I watched the bear run around to my left, and I pulled up thinking, I got to get another shot because often it takes more, but I didn't know which one I had hit. There were three running, and so I let them go. Went and found blood trail and was tracking that blood, and again, I was all consumed in this pursuit, in this hunt. I wasn't thinking about other things. I was one step after the other looking for the next drop of blood and looking for the next drop of blood. You say, Pastor Dan, what happened? Well, what happened was I ended up crisscrossing all over Servant's Heart Camp for the rest of the day, following bear tracks and drops of blood. And that bear got away. By the end of the day, it went off into another property. It really took me on a long journey, crisscrossing back and forth, though, and the bear eventually got away. But it taught me something about pursuing God and the focus that God is looking for us to have upon Him during our time of meeting with Him in a personal level, in our quiet time. That focus is what we need to work on as a church, I believe. One of the things that we need to really take to heart. Our time with the Lord needs to be profitable. It needs to be very purposeful. We need to make sure that we are people that are not just meeting with God and quickly running off to do our day. Are you having serious quiet times with the Lord? And if not, will you start that this year? Or will you get back to it? Will you revive it this time in your life now? And let's pursue God together. Here in Psalm 63, David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. Let's pray. Lord, I just pause here asking that you would take control of this. I don't feel like tonight I'm going to be able to communicate this well. I ask that you would preach it. Lord, I pray that your spirit would convict in hearts. Lord, I believe every single one of us need to listen to this tonight. I believe there's people in this room that are having fervent times with you on a regular basis. But, Lord, I want to walk closer with you. They who are walking close with you want to walk closer. Lord, we can't walk close enough to you. You are a friend like no other. You are the King of Kings. You are the creator of the universe, and yet you want to be close to us. God, I pray that through this, by your spirits, you would do a work in our hearts, and that there would be some earnest following hard after you in the future. Lord, we need that. We pray for revival before revival meetings come. Lord, please do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here in this passage, David is expressing his desire. King David is expressing his desire to be close to God. You read those words and it's obvious. This is coming from deep in his heart. He longs to be close to God. He's experiencing a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That most likely he was referring to that spiritually, but also probably physically. So there's some debate that this was the time when he was running from Absalom. So he was in the wilderness during this time as he was expressing these things to the Lord. What wilderness? If I remember right, he would have been east of the Jordan River, that area, east of Jerusalem, because Absalom has come in and so forced him out, and so he's now in exile in the wilderness and longing to be close to God. Maybe another time that people suggest this was when he was, I would say, in Judea, the wilderness of Judea, running from King Saul. So a much earlier time in King David's life, where he was, again, in a dry and thirsty land, fleeing from his enemies. I don't know which time it was for sure, but he was in a wilderness, and he was thirsting, not just physically likely, but thirsting for God. He wanted to be close to God. He was navigating a fearful, hard, faith-shaking time in his life, and in the midst of it all, he longed to be close to God. Do you find yourself in fearful, faith-shaking times in life? We all do. So why would you want to pursue God? What is the purpose? Because ultimately, God is necessary to get us through the wilderness times. We need God. But not just in a selfish way, Lord, help me, here I am in the wilderness, but because God loves us. We love him because he first loved us. His love is just so extravagant upon us. He longs to be close to his creation, and not just as a whole, with you individually. God wants a close, personal relationship with you. I love how David opens this, and he says, "O God, thou art my God." You're mine. God, you're my God. Can we say that tonight? If you don't know the Lord as personal Savior, maybe some of you young ones, maybe some of the kids in this room tonight, you don't have a personal relationship with God yet because you've not allowed the Lord to show you that you're a sinner and you need him. Do you understand? Kids, older folks even, we're sinners, we're separated from God. God longs to be close to us. He longs to forgive us of our sins. But you have to come to that point till you realize you're a sinner. Jesus took my place. He paid for my sins. I can have a close relationship with God if I repent, I come before the Lord and say, God, I was wrong. Please forgive me of my sins. Please save me. And then God can be your God. Do you have a personal relationship with him? Have you begun that walk with the Lord that he wants to have with each one of us? O God, thou art my God. And then David says, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. That's an interesting phrase. We'll get to it in just a moment. I just want to mention Isaiah 55 first. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7, it says this, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You see, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you are. He wants to abundantly pardon. He wants to have mercy upon you. He wants you to seek him. And when you do, you'll find him. He promises it. So we need to pursue God because we find ourselves in the wilderness. We find ourselves in dry and thirsty lands. And it also says here about seeing God's power and his glory. We need to see God's power and glory working in our church. We need to see God doing the work, not ourselves doing the work. God doing the work. And how do you see that? By pursuing him. By longing for him and spending that quality time with him on a regular basis. Not just some of us. Church, we all need to be doing this. We need to be walking close to the Lord. So I want to ask you, search yourself tonight a little bit as we begin studying, pursuing God together. Would you say, maybe on a scale, you know, Pastor Dan, deep down, truthfully, honestly, I haven't been seeking God. I haven't really been cultivating a personal relationship with him. Or tonight, here would you say, well, I sort of do. You know, sometimes it's kind of hit and miss, to be honest. You know, maybe once or twice a week. Or would you here tonight say, you know, that verse 8, I think that describes me. To the glory of God, I want to be close to him. And my soul is following hard after him. Where would you put yourself tonight? We must pursue God if we ever want to see his power and glory, friends. We need to be pursuing God. Just like that hunter in the woods is so intent upon getting that prize and will go without lunch to do it, maybe even supper. It's just all in. I've got to stay focused on this and get that prize. We need to pursue God that way. Number one, I want you to notice with me the requirements. Number one, the requirements. I'll try to make a simple outline for you to study this later. Pursuing God requires earnest effort. It requires earnest effort on our part. Look at verse 1 there again. It says, "Early will I seek thee." Early will I seek thee. That word early is rather interesting because right away we think it means time of day, and it certainly does include that meaning. But it also includes a meaning of earnestness. It's likely going to be early because you're earnest about this. It's an earnestness there. There's a focus there. There's a passion there for this thing. And so you do it as soon as you can. You do it early. That's what David did in his life. And he said, "Early will I seek thee." Now, I don't intend to preach hard on you make sure in the morning you're meeting with God, but you know, you make sure in the morning you're meeting with God, okay? Such an important time to start your day off with the Lord. And there's a reason we do find that idea multiple places in the Scripture. It's very logical that you need to be starting your day off with the Lord. I don't know if that's your habit or not, but make it your habit. Make it your habit, not because Pastor Dan says it, but because we could look at the Bible and see that there's that pattern. We could also see that there's that earnestness in it. And if you are passionate about anything, your hobby or your work or whatever, you do it as soon as you can. I have down 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. It says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Jeremiah 29, 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Those verses don't have the idea of early, but there are verses in the Bible. Those are the two I have down. The earnestness needs to be there, okay? Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So that has the idea of the earnestness there. Is all your heart into your time with God? Seek his face continually. Would you long for that if you could with your schedule? You see, pursuing God requires an earnest effort. This is an intense, serious, and thorough pursuit. Distractions must be laid aside so nothing is hindered. You see, the devil, you've experienced it, the devil will do all he can to put another distraction, another distraction, another distraction in front of you when you're spending time with God. He's going to do everything he can to get between you and God, not just in the morning, not just in that purposeful time you set aside for the Lord, but throughout your day. He's going to continue to attack you and get you distracted and try to keep your mind from going back to where it should be. The default ought to be the Lord. So pursuing God requires an earnest effort. Let me ask you, have you, first of all, carved out a time in your day? Probably needs to be the morning, a time in your day that you are going to meet with the Lord. Do you have that in your schedule? That's not something that someone else can make for you, unless you're a little one here tonight. That's that you as an adult need to purposefully make that happen. That's going to require some effort on your part, but you've got to schedule it. You've got to plan for a time to meet with the Lord. You know, there are many things here in the operation of the church that Pastor and I have to communicate over. And if we don't purposefully take time to be together, then we miss things and the schedule is messed up and things don't get done. You have to make a purposeful meeting time. Do you have that with your God? It requires an earnest effort. Distractions need to be put away. You need to have that focus. So we're supposed to be pursuing God. You know, that bear that day didn't want to be caught by me. It was doing everything it could to get away the entire day, and it was successful. But you know what? That's not how our God is. God's not trying to hide from us. We've already read some promises, and ye shall seek me and find me. God's not trying to hide from you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He wants to be found by us. Isn't that an amazing thing? We're going to think about that more in the future, but God's not trying to hide from us, and he is not hard to find. He is waiting for us to seek him earnestly. And the truth is that he is earnestly seeking for us. Isn't it I've done this before to my shame, but isn't it a sad thing when maybe you have a heart for little children and you see them trying to get their daddy's attention or their mommy's attention and mommy or daddy are busy talking to someone or there's some other distraction and that little child, you just see their hearts sink because they can't get daddy's attention. Well, every time we call upon the Lord, he quickly gives us his attention. He is earnestly seeking us. He wants to be there with us. God is not trying to hide from us. You see, we have to get past all the distractions and cares of this life so we can spend time with him alone. I think that that the idea of pursuing God is needs to be a pursuit, not because he's trying to hide from us, but because we've got to work our way through all those distractions and temptations that the devil wants to throw at us in our quiet time. Get past all those so we can be with God alone. You see, it requires an earnest effort on our part. Will you pursue him in your life? Psalm 14, verse 2, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and any that seek God." I hope that's not the way he has to look at our church. Is there anyone there that's really seeking me? Okay, so-and-so is. So-and-so is. And there's so-and-so. They met with me. Boy, we had a good time together yesterday. But where's everyone else? I hope that's not the way the Lord has to look at us. Acts 17, verse 27, it says, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." See, he's not trying to hide from us. He earnestly seeks us. But it's interesting what it says here. We should seek the Lord. It says, if haply, or so that, or the consequence of seeking the Lord is this, that they might feel after him and find him. So that's the consequence. If we seek the Lord, we're going to feel after him and find him. The idea of feeling after him is like that blind man groping in the dark. You're searching for something. You don't know what exactly might be there in front of you, but you are earnestly looking around and feeling because you want to know. Feeling after him and finding him, the Bible says. So he's not trying to hide from us. He is not far from every one of us. What an amazing thing. God wants to be with us. So pursuing God, first of all, requires earnest effort. Number two, it requires your whole person. It requires your whole person. Notice here it says in Psalm 63, verse 1, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee." So the idea of the soul there, I understand, is your mind, your will, your emotions. And so that's the part of us that you can't see. That, I guess you could, in a way, see an emotion sometimes, but you get what I'm saying. That part of me, the non-flesh part of me, needs to be seeking God. As David said, his soul does. It thirsteth for thee. But then he said, my flesh, that's the physical part of me, my body, it longeth for thee. And so I believe the idea David is trying to get across here is our whole person needs to be a part of this pursuit of God. And that day in the woods, my whole person was certainly a part of it. My body was engaged. I was carefully taking each step. I was looking all around. I wasn't thinking about ice cream. I was my emotions, my will was in this thing. My mind was completely in it. The whole person needs to be focused on your time with God. That means you may need to get out from underneath the warm covers in the morning. Because if you don't, your flesh will not be a part of your time with the Lord. You need to get your body up. You need to get your mind engaged. Your whole person needs to be intently given to this time. Because you're pursuing God. You're meeting with him, the creator of the universe. So pursuing God does take effort, and the kind of effort is your whole person. Requires your whole body, your whole mind to be engaged. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19, David said to Solomon, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Your heart, whole heart, your soul, everything is the idea. Be engaged in this now. So it requires those things. Also, it requires a recognition of the dry and thirsty land. It requires a recognition of the dry and thirsty land. David said that in verse 1, he was there in that dry and thirsty land where no water is. So let me ask you, has your relationship with God been active and growing? Or have you been in a dry land? Let me ask you this. Has there been some sin in your life? Because you're not going to be in a lush, wonderful place that God wants you to be, refreshing streams of water to cool yourself. You're not going to be in that wonderful paradise spiritually if there's sin in your life that you know about and you're not willing to deal with. You're not going to be able to pursue God and really fellowship with Him and meet with Him on a regular basis to where you're having not just quiet time with Him, but profitable quiet time with Him that produces spiritual growth regularly in your life if there's sin in your life that you know about. Maybe you're hiding something, I don't know, but if there's sin in your life, then get it right. Stop living in that dry and thirsty land. Stop living in that wilderness and start experiencing real quality time with God. Get the sin right. Maybe it's something you're very embarrassed of. Maybe it's something that for a long time you've hidden. Hey, it's time to get right with the Lord because you've got to get out of that wilderness. As a church, we can't be dwelling in the wilderness. So a dry and thirsty land, does it exist in your life? I think of drinking water. There's times that I'm pretty good about drinking water. It's a very healthy thing for us to do, you know. But there's times that I find myself only drinking water when I'm thirsty. But the truth is, I need to be drinking water whether I'm thirsty or not. So can we ever get too much of God? No. Let's be pursuing God. We need to recognize the desperate need. Desperate need to be close to the Lord. So number one, the requirements. Number two, I think we'll buzz through the rest of this a little faster. Number two, the reasons. Why should we be pursuing God? Why should we be going after this? Well, of course, because the Bible says so. But here, it gives a little more to think about. In verse 2, it says, to see thy power and thy glory. That's interesting. David longed to be with the Lord. He wanted to be close to God. He did it earnestly, early. He sought the Lord because he wanted to see God's power. He wanted to see God's glory. We need to see God's power working in our difficult situations. We can't solve them. Can you? I can't. We need God's power. We need His glory. We need the community. We need our children. We need those who are watching our lives to see the glory of God and say, wow, look at that. That is something else. That's what we need to see happening. And David understood that. I need to see God's power. I need to see His glory. Sometimes we may think that there's no hope for victory over some temptations and victory over some sins in our lives, but there is hope because God's power can do it. God's glory is an amazing thing, and when people see it, it lifts him up high. And David wanted that all to be seen. My mind goes to Exodus 33. We won't take the time to turn there, but you remember back in that passage, Israel had committed the sin of worshiping the golden calf, and God cleaned some things up, didn't he? And then it goes on that Moses was going to meet with God. He was meeting with God and praying, mediating for the people of Israel, and God was listening to Moses' words. God wanted to destroy them. But it's interesting, you read that, how Moses at that time, he took the tabernacle from the middle of the camp, and he put it off a distance from the camp of Israel. And I believe that was so that those who wanted to follow God, wanted to pursue God, had to deliberately do it. They had to go out there to meet with the Lord. They had to go out there to where the tabernacle was. And so God, and so Moses then went back up into the mountain of Sinai, and he spent more time with God, and it so impacted him, that time with the Lord, that Moses eventually said, show me thy glory, or whatever exact words he said. He wanted to see the glory of God. And that's where God allowed Moses to see his back as he passed by. Moses spent 40 days, nights with the Lord, and it caused his face to shine brightly. The people saw that when he went back. There's so much there. That's what people need to see in our lives. That's what we need to see personally, right? In our relationships with the Lord. God's power, his glory. It changed Moses' perspective so much. Before, he was saying, Lord, don't destroy these people. Lord, don't pour your wrath out on them. And then after he saw the glory of God, he said, they are a wicked, stiff-necked people. You see, we need to have the right perspective of God. And meeting with him is the only way that's going to happen. We need to see God's power and glory because it'll clean up our lives. So, you need to pursue God because you will experience his power and glory. You need to pursue God because you will learn of his love and it will change your life. You will learn of his love and it will change your life. Look at verse 3. It says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. You see, David understood something about the love of God. He learned some things along his way and started to realize God's love is better than life. There's like nothing that can compare to it. And it changed David's life. It'll change our lives as well as we learn of the love of God. Pursuing God will do that. It will help us understand a little more his love, something we'll never understand fully. But if we don't understand something about the love of God, we will live in a dry and thirsty land. Jeremiah 33 or 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This weekend, the couple retreat that we were able to go on, thinking about love in the marriage relationship, and you can't do that without thinking about the love of Christ for the church. And wow, God's love is absolutely amazing. We need to do all we can to understand it. It will change our lives. So pursue God. Pursue God. Finally, I want you to see the results. Pursuing God, what will happen is God will satisfy your soul. He will become your satisfaction. Look at verse 5. David said there, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. I don't know much about marrow. I guess there's a lot of nutrients there that's good, and they used that a long time ago. I don't pay much attention to it in my eating habits. But fatness, now, that's something different. I love the cream off of the raw milk that I get. I love it. That is so good. I love that fat. Liz made some wonderful ribs the other night, and she and I ate them together. And the fat on that was so good. The meat was good, but that fat was so good because it was right in with the meat, and it melted in your mouth. There's something special in the Bible about fatness. It's the idea of goodness, okay? Health. There's that health idea there that is just a wonderful thing. It's a rich goodness. And I want my relationship with the Lord, my walk with him, to be full of goodness every day. How about you? So that's a result. God begins to satisfy your soul. Instead of having coping mechanisms and other things to try to fill in the place of God, he begins to fill in the place he deserves. He satisfies our soul. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards those. So God will satisfy your soul. God will become your praise and joy. We know we need to praise the Lord. We know we need to be joyful as we go about as Christians in this dark world. But as you pursue God, that will happen. See, it's not something you're going to have to try to do. It's something that will happen as you're walking close to him. You'll want to talk about God and of his working in your life. In verses 3 through 5 there, it says, not verses 3 through 5, toward the end of verse 5, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. It says there in verse 5. Yeah, it says a little in verse 3 there. At the end of verse 3, my lips shall praise thee. So the idea is David wanted to praise the Lord then. He said, wow, God has spoken to me, and I want to lift him up and glorify him. So God will become your praise and joy. God will be in your thoughts also as you pursue him. It says in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You see, God was a part of David's thoughts. Why? Because he was pursuing him. He was walking close to him. Finally, God will protect you through his presence. That's a result. When you pursue God, when you seek him, God will protect you through his presence. You'll know God is near. And knowing that God is near will then cause you to not want the sin. It will cause you to be walking in his spirit, being led by him throughout your day. God will protect you through his presence. It says in verse 7, thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You see, there's that presence there under his wings. Verse 8, thy right hand upholdeth me. There's that closeness. God's presence is there. God will protect you. So there's wonderful results in pursuing God. There are good reasons for you to be doing it in your life. There are some requirements that you're going to have to say, this is a priority now for me. And so I want to close with just a challenge to you as we study this. Will you really get serious about this? I don't know what your personal time is with the Lord. I don't know exactly what your method is. Do you spend most of your time reading? Do you spend most of your time praying? Do you search for one verse a day, or are you trying to read through the Bible in the year? I don't know exactly what you're doing in your quiet time. But as I am learning this, your quiet time can't be 5 minutes. It can't be a quick read of a little devotional book and go off on your day. Folks, we've got to get serious about this if it's not a serious part of our lives. My problem is not that I don't take the time, it's that I can't get enough time. And I'm not saying that because I feel like I'm learning this and doing well at it. I'm saying that because there is so much to have to get done in a day. And the time goes so quickly. Folks, I don't have all the answers about how to spend more time with God, but I know I need to spend a whole lot more time with God. How about you? And so will you choose to really start pursuing God in your life? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would take these words and this burden and transfer it to some other hearts. And Lord, I pray that as we continue on in this year and think about these thoughts at different times, Lord, would you please cause us to take the next spiritual steps that we need to be taking to be drawn close to you so we can see your power and glory. God, you deserve that opportunity to show yourself strong. You're waiting for some people to seek you, I believe. Lord, would you please do that? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.